Last week we were learning Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph in Brachas, where the Gemara was discussing the different parts of the caper bush. It's a bush that grows in Eretz Yisrael and other countries as well. It's called the caper bush. In the days of the Gemara, there were four parts of the bush that were edible.
Someone told me that the Yai Kaplisim, the Gemara read, is caper bush.
Yeah? Okay, I thought it was from Cyprus. I didn't know. So in the days of the Gemara, there were four parts of the bush that were edible. The Achronim say that there's manazeh, that people don't eat all these four things. So everything is different. But let's concentrate on Bismara Gemara. So the Gemara says that there was the fruit itself that grows on the bush. The Gemara is going to raise the issue whether a bush has a status like a tree or it has a status like a vegetable. What's the difference? One difference is whether it says Baruch Hu, it's a Baruch Hu Adonai. That's a difference on the level of the Rabbanim. The difference on the level of their Isa is whether the laws of Orla would apply. Number one, because the laws of Orla, that whenever you plant a tree, the first 3 years worth of fruits are rusted. You plant a tree, the first 3 years worth of fruits are rusted. The fruits that happen to grow on the first, if anything grows the first 3 years. Nothing grows that didn't grow. But if fruit grows the first 3 years, so those fruits are rusted b'achila b'hanah. Whatever grows the fourth year has a din of netter revive. So that only applies to a tree, doesn't apply to a vegetable. So the Gemara says there's a shaila here whether a bush is to be treated as a tree or as a vegetable. And we pass kind of like the silver that a bush has the same status as a tree, even though it's not hard wood, has the same halacha like a tree. And there's not a nafkamina on a level of their isa. The Gemara says there are two nafkaminas on a level of their isa. And this nafkamina is a dindar abonim. When he says, when you eat the fruits, that's a shaila and a dindar abonim. All the bichas on them are only the abonim. And this is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. This has to be determined on a level of Deraisa whether the bush has the status of a tree or not. So what's an Afkimina on a level of Deraisa? You don't see any brachas. So one difference on a level of Deraisa is whether the laws of Orla apply. And the other Afkimina was whether the laws of Kilayim apply. Aloha says, we learned last week a little bit briefly, Aloha says you're not permitted to plant two vegetables one near the other or two grains one near the other. Unless you have a fence separating or unless you separate, let's say I leave a long harchoke, a few amis in between this field and the other field. I leave empty, or if I have them growing one next to the other, and I have a fence, even if I have a tzuras ha-pesach in between, like when we make an erev for Shabbos purposes. So the Gemara says that erev is good to be matter klayim also. The Gemara says, let's say grapes are growing in North Dakota, and grain is growing in South Dakota, mamish up until the border of the two states, and then I make an erev just to separate the North Dakota from South Dakota, even though the erev doesn't separate anything on the ground level. They're mamish leaning over each other. The grapes and the grain are leaning over into each other. And even though the Erev doesn't complete the whole circuit, it doesn't make North Dakota or South Dakota into Rishta Sayachar at all. It just goes between North Dakota and South Dakota, just on the border. So the Gemara says that that's sufficient. And the Dinah Tzuras HaPesach, if you have a frame of a door, Kona Mikam, if you have a frame, that's considered as if it were a Mechitza to be Mata Bikloim, to allow you to plant up until the border mamish, grain on one side and different grain on the other side, vegetables on one side and different vegetables on the other side. The law that if you grow two, the Gemara says there are three kinds of kilayim as far as planting is concerned. One is kloi hakera. The din of kloi hakera means if I plant grain on one side and grapes on the other side. So that's an issur deraisa in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rabbanan, that applies even to Chutz Loretz. It applies, number one, you're not permitted to plant kloi hakerem Chutz Loretz. Number two, if you did plant it, both the grain and the grapes are also b'hanor. It does mean that you're not allowed to eat grapes unless you make a thorough investigation. You don't have to have a hashgacha on the grapes, that you bind the A&P to make sure that they're not kloi hakerem.
Also, it is the grapes mixing with one part of the grain.
Right, only the part that's growing within the proximity that's forbidden.
Oh, the rest of the grain.
That's okay. Whatever's far away is okay. You're supposed to leave a harfaka 4 amas. So whatever grew 4 amas away is okay. Whatever grew within the 4 amas to each other, that's also bahamur. That's also to plant it. If you're a Jewish farmer, you're not allowed to plant grain next to grapes. And if you did it, even if a guy did it, so the din is that the tvua is also ba'achila ba'hanor, and the grapes are also ba'achila ba'hanor. But the Mishnah says you're not mechuyif to go make an investigation. You don't need a hashgacha. When you buy flour in the A&P, or you buy grapes in the shop, you don't have to make a whole investigation to see whether the farmer in North Dakota, South Dakota happened to plant kloy hakeret. If it would be in Eretz Israel, you wouldn't need a hashgacha. But if it's in Chutz Laaretz, since the whole din of kloy hakeret is only midir rabbanon, so b'makom sofik it's mut. You don't have to clear our line so much. That's the din of kloy hakeret. Then the Gemara says there's another din of kloy ilanos. Not that if I plant one tree next to the other, let's say I plant an apple tree next to a pear tree, that's muta legamre. There's no problem at all. There's no issur of climb there, if there's one tree next to the other. But if I break off a branch from one tree and I graft it onto the other tree, that's what the Gemara calls harkova silonin. So harkova, to graft a branch from one tree onto another, is an issur min haTorah, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. That's how the Gemara says. Two different meanings. If it's two different minim, it tells them not that. Even if they're not two different minim that have different fruits, let's say the Mishnah has one is a Elon Srak, one is a tree that doesn't bear any fruits at all, and one is a tree that bears fruits, and I want to graft the two together in order that the Elon Srak, in order that the tree that doesn't bear any fruit should give strength to make the other tree strong. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Klein, that's also us. There isn't easy to plant such Klein. And if you did it, but if you did it, the fruit is muta b'riyev. There is no issa. But the fruit is muta. No. Let's say I grafted.
You did it. Oh, well, you did it.
I go, you're a Jew. Yes. Whether it's done the abeh or the head, but that's not.
Once
it produces muta.
Two
minim is also muta b'riyev. Whether I made a hakava from an ilan srak, fruit, a tree that doesn't bear any fruits. I grafted a branch from an Elon Srak onto a regular tree, or I grafted a branch from a peach tree onto an orange tree or something, and I came up with a new fruit. So in either event, the fruit would be muta b'riyeva. One of the shalom we discussed last week a little bit, benegia to esrog. Why an esrog hamurkov is no good? It's a different shalom. And then the third kind of klai the Gemara has is the klai zroi. If I plant one vegetable, I plant potatoes over here and tomatoes over here, and they're growing near each other, and I don't have any fence separating. I don't have any Erev, Atzeres HaPesach separating, and I don't have any Harchokim. I didn't leave an empty patch in between them. Mamish growing near each other. So the Gemara says that this is only also to plant in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chutz Laaretz is Mutal HaTchila to plant Kloy Zeroyim, to plant one next to the other.
Zeroyim, but Eivanis is also no problem?
Right, whenever one of the two things is a tree, so then there's no Issa Kloyim, with the one exception of grapes. Yeah. The one exception of Geffen, that if you have a grapevine growing over here, and you have tefillah growing over there, then you do have an Issa Kloy HaKerem. That is us. But that's the only one exception to the rule, is the grapevine. In all other trees, there's no Issa Kloyim at all, unless you graft one branch onto the other tree. That's how it
comes. You just brought down with the egg, we make a tourist festival, yeah, North Dakota, South Dakota. If the Trojan get together, is it still good?
Yeah, that's how it even though the Shemashim are growing under the ground, growing into each other. If you have a fence on top, it's mutter. Even though they're growing through the fence, they're holding the fence. And if you have a tzuris ha-pesach, an erev, it's also good. If you have an erev in shul, it's no good. Let's say you want to have a machitz between the men's section and the women's section. So if you put a tzuris ha-pesach, it will be no good. Just put the two poles and then put a string on top, it will be no good. That's not sufficient. But for a kalayim, the Gemara says that it is good. So that's what the Gemara is bringing up over here. So the Gemara is, a lot of dinim in this perek, this whole perek is dealing with dinim derabbanan, but a lot of these dinim derabbanan are patterned after dinim derais. So this detail aloch is also, this caper bush, this slav, as the Gemara calls it, slav, kafrisin, avyonis. So the Gemara speaks about which bracha one recites when eating the different parts of this caper bush, and whether the laws of our law apply to what grows on the bush or not, and which parts of what grows on the bush are included in pri. What's called eitz and what's called pri, because when you have a tree that's giving forth fruit, so the fruits that grow in the first 3 years are also only that which has a din of pri. The pasuk reads, "Va'aralchem alasa es pirio." Only the pri of the tree is also ba'chil ba'anor, what grows in the first 3 years. Whatever is called eitz is mutter. Let's say the wood of the tree that grows in the first 3 years, you're permitted to break off a branch and use it for whatever purpose you desire, because the wood is muta b'hanor. Only the pri is also b'hanor. So that's what the Gemara discussed, that's what we learned last week. So Rav Yudeh quotes in the name of Rav, that The din of chutz laretz is Rav lived in Babel. So Rav Yehuda quotes in the name of Rav, Slap shel Orla b'chutz laretz, if a person lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, the laws of Orla still apply. We shouldn't think that Orla only applies in Eretz Yisrael, as one would get the impression from the Chumash, because it says in the Torah, kisevayel haaretz, when the type you call it tzmach, when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you plant a fruit-bearing tree, so the fruits that grow in the first 3 years are asa b'achin l'bahandro. So the simple reading of the Chumash implies that the law only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and chutz laretz is no din of Orla. So the Mishnah says in Kiddushin that it's not so, that Orla v'chutz laretz applies. The Gemara has a whole dispute, why does it apply in chutz laretz? Is it midi rabbanah? Is it only a chumim midi rabbanah that the hilchas Orla apply to chutz laretz? Or is it halacha l'moshe v'sina? Halacha l'moshe v'sina means that it's a din d'oraisa, which is Torah Shabbat Peh, which is never written down in the Chumash. That's a dispute in the Gemara. Machlokes Amoraim, how to interpret the Mishnah in Kiddushin. Mishnah, the end of the first part in Kiddushin, says that there is a halacha that Orla applies with chutz laretz. The Gemara has a machlokes whether hilchas medina or halachal moshim. Hilchas medina means midi rabbanah, and halachal moshim medina means that it's minatir. It does make too much of a difference to Opein. Opein and Dinim are going to be the same, whether it's halachal moshim medina or it's midi rabbanah. And the Shulchan Aruch, they assume that it's halachal moshim medina. And our daf, Rashi has a comment. Rashi says that on our daf that the laws of Orla chutz laretz are medivrei sofim hi. Orla chutz laretz medivrei sofim hi. So the simple translation of the Rashi sounds like he means to say that it's midi rabbanan. And the Rambam, you can never tell. The Rambam uses the expression divrei sofrim in the sense of whatever is not written beforeish in the Chumash. So many times the Rambam will use the phrase divrei sofrim on a din de rabbanan. Half of the time it means it's a din midi rabbanan. Half of the time it means that it's a din min haTorah, which is nidrash from the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashes Beh. So divrei sofrim just means Torah Shebal Peh. The dinim de rabbanan part of Torah Shebal Peh. And whatever is nidrash from the Yud Gimel Midrash, whatever is not printed black and white in the Chumash, is also Torah Shebal Peh. Rashi never uses that expression. Rashi says divrei sofrim sounds like he holds that it's midi rabbanan. So the Achronim comment on Rashi over here. How does Rashi know to take a stand that all the b'chutz laretz is midi rabbanan? Maybe it's halacha moshe mistina. The Gemara has a machlokes amaroim in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak. Maybe we'll get to that a little later. What prompted Rashi to say davka nizdaf all over in Shas, all over in the Gemara whenever they discuss the topic of all the b'chutz laretz? Rashi doesn't take a stand in Kiddushin. It's a machlokes amaroim. Whether it's halacha moshe mistina or it's midi rabbanan. Why just on brachas dav lam avav? What prompted Rashi over here to take a stand to say, must be something perhaps in the Gemara? What prompted Rashi to say on this daf that the Gemara holds that it's only the Rabbah?
Maybe we'll see. Slop the bush,
could be, but the Gemara never makes a distinction. The Gemara quotes a dispute, Beishama Bisul, whether a bush has the status of a tree. And we pass them like Bisul, that a bush is considered a tree. That there's no din of climb if you grow a bush right next to a grain, or grow a bush right next to vegetables, so there's no use of climb at all. Because use of climb only applies when you have two grains, or a vegetable and a grain, or two vegetables. Whenever one of the two things involved is a tree, there's no climb. Or also, the Pashto says, once you hold like Bisil, that a bush has the status of a tree, so then it should be all of the same din, regular din of all. So the Gemara says here regarding, we'll get to this detail soon. So the Gemara says regarding this Orla b'chutz laretz, there is a din, Orla applies b'chutz laretz, even though the Chumash doesn't seem to say like that. Chumash says, kisevoy al haaretz, but the Mishnah says that Orla applies even b'chutz laretz. So the Mishnah said, the Rav is quoted as saying, that you have this bush that grows b'chutz laretz, b'bavel, from the four things that are edible on that bush. The Gemara talks about, you have berries, and you have the fruit itself, and you have the shell around the fruit that's edible, then you have leaves that grow. And all four things were edible with Marag Mar. Gemara quotes the Braise that on two of them you say who Adama, and two of the things you say who eats, and we spent a lot of time yesterday trying to figure out why that should be so, what kind of a din that is. So Rav comments, from all the four things that grow on this bush, only one of them is also midin Orla. The other three are mutter. So the Gemara says, why does he hold like that? Apparently he holds like Rabbi Akiva, that only one of them is considered the fruit, and everything else is considered eitz b'yalma. Of the four things that grow in the bush, only the fruit itself has the status of pri, and the other three things, although they're edible, it's like eating kur, it's like eating a branch, and it doesn't have any dinim of chumas amaisris, and so on. So Rav says, so what do you do with that part of the orla bush that's also b'achilu b'anoch? So he says, you throw it out in the garbage. Zorik is Slavyonis. You throw it out in the garbage, and it's also b'achilu b'anoch. The Pnei Yeshua has a famous kasha on this daf, which Achrena discussed. How does Rav say that you throw your orla out in the garbage? Don't we have a Mishnah in the end of Tmure that says that when you have things that are asa b'hanor, so some of the things that are asa b'hanor have to be burnt. They're min ha'nisrafim, like we burn chametz and ha'pesa. The machmed ha'chametz is min ha'nisrafim. And other things that are asa b'achil b'hanor are just min ha'nigborim. You just have to dispose of them. You have to bury them. Well, that's the shot. The Mishnah doesn't state explicitly what about all of chutzot. The Mishnah just says that all is min ha'nisrafim. So that's the kasha that the Yeshua asks. Another Rachamim discuss on this daf, how come Rav says that you just take the orla fruit and you throw it out in the garbage, why doesn't he require that you should burn the orla? Based on the Mishnah in Tzmura, that orla and klei akerem are rasa b'achil b'hanor, and they are tunim sreifa. That's the kasha. So some Achreinim answer, that's what Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer, and the Ragat Shover has also in his sefer. They used to learn b'chavrusa. The Ragat Shover going with Rav Chaim Briska learned b'chavrusa by the Beis HaLevi as children, before Bar Mitzvah. So they both have in their svarim the same chiddush, that all the b'chutz laretz is not subject to that din. That the halacha l'moshe m'sinai of orla can be understood, orla applying to chutz laretz can be understood in two different ways. Either one understands that although the Chumash says Kisavoyal Haaretz, that this din only applies in Eretz Yisrael, so according to the Torah Shebichsav, the din of Orla is limited to Eretz Yisrael, the Halacha Moshe Mistina invented a new din midirabbanon, Yesh Meyayin, that in addition to what it says in the Chumash, which is Torah Shebichsav, there's another din that Orla should be noig b'chutz laretz. Halacha Moshe Mistina, or midirabbanon, however you should listen. Or one can interpret differently, that this is not a Halacha Moshe Mistina that's introducing a new Isser. Here the Halacha Moshe Mistina is reinterpreting the Pasuk. We retranslate the Pasuk. That's how the Gaonim say it. Chaim Soloveitchik quotes in the Sefer, this is what the Gaonim say. When the Pasuk says, Ki Savoy al Haaretz, and the Titan call it Michael, it doesn't mean that this is the Makom, this is the country where this mitzvah is knowing, means that is the time when this mitzvah begins. When the Jews will cross over the Yarden, days of Yeshua ben Nun, then the din of Allah should begin to be Noheg. But where is it Noheg? All over the world?
That should be the Raisa.
Then it would be the Raisa. Then it would be. That's what it means. Halacha Moshe Mesina means the Halacha Moshe Mesina reinterprets the Pasuk. So once it reinterprets the Pasuk, so the din of Allah applies in Chutzlah, it's in Atara. If you would have only had the Chumash, you would have thought that it's only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. But now the Halacha Moshe Mesina comes to reinterpret that Pasuk, that you should reread it. You should read it. Kisa Vayal Haaretz, there's this man. Nihug HaMitzvah, and it's not the Makom Nihug HaMitzvah. It tells you when the mitzvah begins, but it doesn't tell you where it applies. Where does it apply? All over the world. So Rav Chaim points out that this is a dispute between the Rambam and the Gaonim. The Rambam himself quotes the opinion of the Gaonim and he disagrees. What is the din if a person eats Orla? What's the din if a person eats Chazer? So we punish him, we give him Malkus. The Torah says, whoever doesn't have it, gets Malkus. So what happens if a person eats trefa, fruits and vegetables, he eats Tevel? So we give him Malkus. What if he eats orla that grew in Eretz Yisrael, fruits that grew on a tree within the first 3 years, and we give him malchus? What if a person eats orla b'chutz laretz? Does he get malchus or not? So the opinion of the Rambam quotes the opinion of the Gaonim that there is malchus, and he disagrees and he says it doesn't make any sense. The Rambam answers no malchus because it's only halacha moshe m'sinai. You only get malchus on an avera, which is similar to l'safsim shavadishim. Because it says in the Chumash that if a person is a rasha, we give him malchus. And it doesn't say what kind of a rasha. Stam, anybody who's a Rosh gets Malkus. So the Gemara and Malkus in the third parak interprets that since this Pasuk, the Hayah in Bin HaKos HaRosh, the Hippil HaShof, as we call the Panach, the very Shasa Ben Mispah, since this Pasuk is written in Chumash next to the din of Lasatz Moshav Edishai, that they are permitted to muzzle the animal while it's threshing the grain, so we derive from the Smichas HaPsukim that whenever anybody violates an Aver, which is similar to Lav de Chasima, the Lav of Lasatz Moshav Edishai, Chasim is spelled with a Samach. Ches Samach Yud Mem Hei means to muzzle up the animal. Whoever does an aver that's similar to Lav Dechasimah, that's similar to the aver of Lasasim Shabbatishoy, gets malchus. Whoever does an aver which is not similar to Lav Dechasimah, not similar to Lasasim Shabbatishoy, does not get malchus. Because the Gemara says in Yevamis, in the first parak, that although from Bereishis through Bamidbar there's a machlokes hatanaim where the Darshan smuchim, when you have one pasuk next to the other, doesn't necessarily imply that there's a connection between the two psukim. So we paskin against Rabbi Yudin, Lo Yidashin and Smuchim, just because two dinim are one next to the other. If they're both in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. If I have two dinim and one pasuk, that's a hekesh. So the halacha says that there must be some connection, must be some relationship between the two. But if you have two dinim and two psukim, which are written one next to the other, so then if it's veracious through Bamidbar, we say Lo Yidashin and Smuchim. But if it's Chumash Dvarim, and the Gemara says in Yevamis, in the first paragraph of Yevamis, that Dashin and Smuchim. So this is in Dvarim. These two psukim of Malkus, we give Malkus to the Rasha, is written right next to the pasuk of lasachsim shabidish, not to muzzle the animal while it's doing the threshing work. So the Gemara says, since it's in Chumash Dvarim, so everybody agrees that you darshin smuchim. So we say that only such a person gets malchus if he violates an avera which is similar to lasachsim shabidish. So one of the major similarities that we have is that it has to be a law that's written in the Chumash. It has to be written in the Torah. If the law is not written in the Chumash at all, it's only known through the Torah Mal Pet, it's only Halakha Moshe Sinai. So that for sure is not similar to Lasasim Shalidish. And then in addition to the fact that it has to be written, you have to have that it should be written in a similar lashon. I have to say Loi, or Hisham, or Apen, or Al. If it says Allah Habamach Lala Say, so the Gemara says there's no Malchus there either, because it's not written in the same way that Loi Sachs Mashabadish is written. And then it has to be the way you violate the Aveir has to also be similar to Loi Sachs Mashabadish. It has to be Allah Shi'ej Bomaisa, Allah Shalai Nikla, Saras Mrs. Bezin. The Gemara has a list of similarities that we require. But Beroshah Barishayna, the first similarity is that it should be a law that's written in the Chumash. If the law is only known through Halacha Moshe V'Sinai, then the Rambam and Rashi and all the Rishonim they all postulate a klal that such an Aveiru, which is only known through Halacha Moshe V'Sinai, is certainly not similar to Rasasim Shabbadish. It's not written at all in the Chumash. So the Gaonim say that one who eats Orla that grew b'chutz l'oretz gets Malchus. So the Rambam argues, how can that be? In the Chumash it only says, Kisavoy al Haaretz. When a Titan called it Mechel, when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you plant fruit-bearing trees and you eat the fruit that grew within the first 3 years, so you've done an Avera because you've eaten Orla. But the Chumash only speaks about Orla Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't really work about Orla B'chutz L'Oretz. Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is purely Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. So the Rambam says, how can anybody get Malchus for an Avera which is only Halacha Moshe M'Sinai? So apparently the Gaonim are of the opinion, that's what Chaim quotes, he quotes from the Sefer Shiltas on Chumash, that the Shiltas on Parashas Kedoshim explains his position. He says that the Halacha Moshe Mitzina interprets the Pasuk, reinterprets the Pasuk, that you shouldn't translate Kisavoyer al Haaretz, that this mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And all the B'chutz L'Oretz is a separate issue which is only Halacha Moshe Mitzina. No! The Halacha Moshe Mitzina tells you to translate the Pasuk differently. The time that this mitzvah applies is after Yeshua Benum will cross over the Yarden. But once he crosses over the Yarden and the mitzvah of Orla applies, the Chumash doesn't say where. So it applies equally both there to Selan to Chutz L'Oretz. And if Mamash, it's Pshutush HaMikra, it's included Mamash in the Chumash. But Orla Chutz L'Oretz is included in the Chumash. That's the Shita Sagon. So Rav Chaim and the Rav Shava go further and they explain how many dinim do we carry over from Orla, from the laws of Orla, Eretz Yisrael, how many dinim do we carry over to Orla Chutz L'Oretz? So if you hold like the Shita Sagonim, that the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai translates the Pasuk differently from the way you would have thought Pshat. So everything. So Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is included in the Pasuk. So everything is carried over. So this Mishnah in the end of Temura, the very last Mishnah in Temura that says that if you have fruits that are Orla, you have a mitzvah to burn them, that they're Menanis Rafim, if that's the din in Orla B'Eretz Yisrael, so that's the same din in Orla B'chutz L'Oretz. The same din applies to Orla B'chutz L'Oretz. So there's no room to distinguish between the two if you say that Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is mamish included in the Pasuk. After the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai reinterprets the Pasuk, I retranslate the Pasuk to say that this is the Zman Chilas Niyuk HaMitzvah. After Yeshua Benun crosses over the Yard, all the other dinim began from the day of Maimon HaSinai. Except for this din of our Lord, only begins Mishar Yisrael HaSayyad. But after they cross over the Yard, then Kisavay Al Haaretz, it applies all over the world. Look, if the din Mamash applies all over the world, and that's what it says in the Chumash, and Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is included in the Pasuk, so then the din of Sreifa should also apply to Orla B'chutz L'Oretz. But if one holds like the Rambam, that's what the Rav Chava and Rav Chaim both write. If one holds like the Rambam, that's a generally accepted opinion. Again, the Rambam against the Gaonim on this one point. The Rambam's opinion is the more popular opinion. So then one can already say that perhaps the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai only says that the Yisur Achidu Lahanoa of Orla is carried over to Chutz L'Oretz. Maybe the Mitzvah of Sreifa is not carried over. The Mitzvah of Sreifa is only derived from Pesukim in connection with Orla B'Eretz Yisrael. And you don't have any Pesukim at all that speak about Orla B'chutz L'Oretz. No Vos, it's a separate Halacha Moshe Mitzinai that it's also. So maybe it's only also B'Achid B'Hanoah, and it's not Tawon Sreifa.
How
do you
explain this to Rav?
Oh, that's the concept. This answer that Rav Chaim and the Ragat Shava give is only valid if one assumes like the Rambam, that Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is not included in the Pasuk, so then you can say that the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai tells you a separate Iser, and the separate Iser only tells you it's also B'Achid B'Hanoah, and it doesn't have the Mitzvah Sreifa. But if you hold like the Gaonim, that all the Beretzel and all the B'chutz L'Oretz, and Mamish, the same Pasuk, it's Ayinu Hach, it's all included in the same pasuk in the Chumash, so then how do you say over here that you don't have to burn it? So that's why the Chasam Sofer writes in his Tshuva a different answer. He doesn't think that there's any room to distinguish between oil of Eretz Yisrael and oil of Chutzlah. This didn't occur to him in his Tshuva. He just writes that he always wondered, he learned by the Rav Nos Nadla. He always refers to him as a Chosid Shebekunah. Nos Nadla was a kohen. So he refers to his Mori Rabbi a Chosid Shebekunah of Nos Nadla. He says he had had trees. He lived in Frankfurt. He had trees that gave forth fruits. So the first 3 years, the fruits were also Bachel Banah. He didn't eat them, but he didn't burn them either. He just threw them in the garbage, like the Gemara prescribes. He's rocking. He threw the fruits in the garbage. He says he wondered, why didn't the Rebbe throw the fruits in the garbage? Somehow he was bothered more with...
Why did he just
throw it in the garbage? Why didn't he burn it? Somehow the Chasam Sofer was worried more about Rav Nos Nadla than about the Gemara. The Gemara says you throw it in the garbage, and he's rocking. It's clear from the Gemara that you don't burn it. So I had the Gemara, he could visualize that the Gemara, they weren't so observant. But my Rebbe shouldn't do the din. His Rebbe shouldn't burn the oil, so that's what he was bothered with. So he came up with a new answer, so he poses another kash. He asks another kash, so the second kash is going to have for the one kash is going to answer the other. He poses another kash, how come all of the Moni HaMitzvahs, so this talk is 613 mitzvahs, nobody lists this as one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, that you have a mitzvah, the raisa, to burn oil of a chutzpah. To burn oil. How come nobody lists this as one?
What are you supposed to do with it? And you're assuming we had a base mitzvah. So what do you do with oil?
You burn it.
You have nothing to do with taking the base mitzvah.
No, no, that's the fruits that grow the fourth year. You have a din of Netar Rabbi, and Netar Rabbi is the same as Maisa Shani, that you have to eat the Yerushalayim.
What do you normally do? Something like in the first 3 years, what do you do? In
so the Chasam Sofer assumes you would throw it in the garbage there, you wouldn't have to burn it.
Yeah.
And he's trying to figure out, doesn't this contradict the Mishnah?
Yeah.
And the Rav Chaim and the Rav Chava say, no, if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you have fruits that grow on bushes and on trees the first 3 years, you have a mitzvah to burn the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in Chutz Laaretz, you don't have to burn it, just throw it out in the garbage.
But the problem is that you are either to bury it or to burn it.
The Chumash doesn't say explicitly, but the Mishnah in the end of the Temurah is assuming that it's derived from a pasuk that you have to burn it.
But if you throw it in the garbage, someone can still have an oil. People, they can pick it up from the garbage.
Oh, so you have to throw it in such a garbage that you know for sure no one's going to get hanor. So that's why the Mishnah says nikbarim, you have to bury it. And not to bury it, to use it as fertilizer. Then you're getting hanor. But to bury it in someone else's field, so then they're getting hanor. So you have to bury it in such a way that no one's going to get hanor. That's what it means, nikbarim.
You also have hanor, you know, use the excess. Big foundations is also
Hanor. Also Hanor, right. So that's what the expression Nigborim. Nigborim means that you have to dispose of it in such a fashion that nobody will get Hanor. Nigbor talks about that you're not allowed to leave it in the garbage can because somebody may come and be Nenna. Nigbor calls that a Hashash Takola. We're afraid that if you just leave it around somewhere, somebody else will get Hanor. So you have to dispose of it in a fashion that no one will get hanor. The Gemara
says, "Burn."
I mean,
like burning the chametz. We burn the chametz every year. We don't want.
So if you burn the chametz, but like, what's the purpose of it? What are you saying? You're burning only very beautiful fruit. Now we're going to take and burn it.
Baruch Shalom. Baruch Shalom told us to burn it.
But and has nothing. You know, you can't change it. You can't make it. Or you can't.
It's also hanor. It's also hanor. You're not allowed to sell it even to a nachri. Because you're not allowed to get hanor. He's allowed to. If he has an orla tree, I don't have to tell him that, look here, that's orla, don't eat it. That's not from his shed, it's Grinaya. But I'm not allowed to give orla to him. I'm not allowed to sell orla to him and make money on the deal because I'm getting hanor by selling it. Or by giving it as a matana to the nachri, I'm also getting hanor because he's going to give me back a tayyib in exchange. If I give him a whole bushel full of fruits and I say it's a matana, so he'll be back a tayyib to me. So he'll do me back
a tayyib. Who said the burning of the mitzvah when you don't have to burn it? It's just a way of getting out of the world.
Okay, that's a tiny, but the Chasam Sofer is bothered with this kasha. Yes, the kasha, why don't the Moni HaMitzvah count this as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs? If the Mishnah says he's supposed to burn it, like we count Bir or Chametz. We count the Mitzvah Tashbis, so we count the Mitzvah to destroy the Chametz as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs.
Huh?
So that's a simple answer. Then on Echanami, just like burning Chametz is a Mitzvah Min HaTorah, so to burning oil on Kalaya Kamer is also a mitzvah in our Torah, but we don't count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs because it's not written explicitly in the Chumash. The Gemara derives it from the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and the Dresh Hashem. It's a Yalfuse, it's a limud from the Pasuk. But it's not written black and white, and the Pasuk in the Raman has a klal. All the Achronim accept his klal. That you only count in the Minyan HaMitzvah as something which is written beforeish in the Pasuk. Otherwise, you're going to count every single mitzvah. You have billions and billions of mitzvahs. You have to limit a dafki to those mitzvahs that are written in the Fush. But this was the kasha that was bothering the Chassam Sofer. There's two kashas. And he writes that his second kasha is going to answer his first kasha. His first kasha was, why didn't his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, why didn't the Amoraim, phrases like that, why didn't they burn the Orlov? The Mishnah says in the end of Tmura that Orlov is Minan Israfim. And the second kasha is, if that's what the Mishnah means, if that's what the Mishnah means, Kipshuto, that you're supposed to burn Orlov, so why didn't any of the Moni HaMitzvah count it as an independent mitzvah in the Tarek Mitzvah? So the second kasha, we have a simple answer on. That you don't count it as a separate mitzvah, unlike chametz, because chametz are mefurish pasuk. Here there's no mefurish pasuk. There's the alfus. And the first kasha, we also have a good answer, that this is all of the chutzlort, that's all about it. So, but this answer didn't occur to him. Chaim's answer, the Ramachov's answer. He assumes that it's an equation. He's perhaps assuming like the Shitas HaGaonim, that there's a complete equation between all of Eretz Yisrael and all of the chutzlort. So the Chassam Sofer in his tshuva comes up with a new einfal. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan quotes Laloch and Yeridei and the Simon on Olah and Reish Tarek Dalar also Reish Tarek Gimel Yeridei. He quotes the Tshuva Chassam Sofer and he assumes that this is the correct answer. He says that the Mishnah never meant to say that if you have fruits that are Olah that grew in the first 3 years that you are obligated to burn them. No, the Mishnah means a different thing. That Mishnah at the very end of Tmura distinguishes between the various Isuri HaNoach and it classifies them into two categories. Half of them are Nikvarim and half of them on Israfim. Half of them you have to dispose of in some fashion or another in a way that you know that nobody will get any hanor from it. And half of them you have to burn bedavke. You have to dispose of them davke by destroying them ayidei sreifa, by burning them. So the Mishnah says, is there any difference between the gvarim and Israfim? The Mishnah says, yes. What if I burn these in Suri Hanor? Will the ashes be muta b'hanor or not? So if the stuff that, if the Suri Hanor is Israfim, like Orlo and Kloy HaKeren, or Pigol Noisa Kamei, it's a mitzvah to burn it. It says in the Chumash, V'Saravtas HaNoisa B'Eish Lo Yeyochel. So whenever it's a mitzvah to burn a dafke, so then, after I burn it, Afron Muta. The ashes are Muta Banu. If you have any interest to use ashes, let's say the kids want to dress up for Purim. And the Shvartzes, so they use ashes and they smear on their face. So the ashes from this Yisuri HaNoah would be Muta Banu. But if you have, let's say, Basa B'Chol Oviz, Asa B'HaNoah, and it's not Minam Yisrofim, there's no law you have to burn it. So how do you dispose of it? It's minhag burn. You have to bury it or dispose of it somehow or another. So what if you decide you want to burn it? So you go ahead and you burn it. What will the status, what will Allah be of those ashes? And the Mishnah says, the ashes of the nikbarim, even if you went ahead and you burnt them, the ashes will be asabana. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Chassam Sofer suggests his einfall that the Mishnah never meant to say that Orla and Klaikem is a mitzvah dafke to burn. It doesn't say that in the Mishnah. All it means to say is that if you are interested in getting hanor from the ashes, if you'll burn it, then the ashes will be mutabano. But it doesn't say you're mukhif to burn it. You want to mukhif to burn it if you want to get some hanor out of it. If you're interested in using the ashes, then burn it, then the ashes will be mutabano. But if you don't burn it, then you're not mukhif to just dispose of it somehow in a fashion that nobody will get hanor.
Are you supposed to burn
Klai Karen? Klai Karen and Orla have the same din. So whatever the din is by Orla, the din will be the same by Klai Karen. So the regular standard poskim assume that the Mishnah says in the end of Tmura that Klai HaKerem and Orlam and Hanis Rafim, that it's a mitzvah to burn. That's what it means. It's a mitzvah to burn. And perhaps all of the chutzlars is different. That's why the Gemara over here talks about throwing it in the garbage. But if you talk a living Eretz Yisrael, you have all the trees or all the bushes, you have to burn the peiros by fire, not stand and throw them in the garbage. And the Chassam Sofer claims that it's not true. He says the reason why it's not counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs is one of the Tariyag Mitzvahs to burn the oil of trees, to burn the oil of fruits or the berries on the bushes is because there never was such a mitzvah in the first place. That's not what it means. It just means if you want to be netted from the ashes, then you have to burn it. If you will burn it, the ashes will be mutter. But you're not mukhif to burn in the first place if you don't want to use the ashes, isn't it?
So why does the more doctor say would apply to the Eretz Yisrael?
That part will be the same, but the other part, that Eichelis HaKafrisim will only apply to Chutzlort. That we'll get to. We'll get to that point. What does the Gemara say this din? That's a good question. Why does the Gemara say the din only applies to Chutzlort? So the Chassam Sofer assumes that Zorik is of Yoyna is that you just throw it out in the garbage, that you just throw the fruits or the berries out in the garbage, that would be the same in Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlort. The difference between Eretz and Chutzlort is going to be the next line, but Eichelis HaKafrisim, that we'll get to. Those are the two answers that the post can give on this Gemara. How does the Gemara say that Zorik is HaPeiros? How do you just throw out the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha that all Afarim discussed? How does the Gemara say you just throw out the fruits that are Orla? Don't you have to burn Orla? We have a mission at the end of Tumor that you're supposed to burn Orla. So Rachsam Tzadru says that's not Pshat in the Mishnah. he reinterprets the Mishnah. When it says it's minhag ha'srofin, it's not to be taken literally. It just means that if you'll burn it, the yeshes will be mutter, but you're not obligated to burn it if you don't want to use the yeshes.
Would you say,
that's that Mishnah.
Yeah,
that's that Mishnah. So that's the next line in the Mishnah. So he says the only reason why the Mishnah divided the Suri Hamnu into the two categories, some of them are this bar in which you just dispose of, throw it in the garbage in such a fashion that nobody will get Hamnu. And the others on the Surafim, it's not the Surafim means that you have to burn it. No, it just means the next line in the Mishnah.
That
call on the Dvarim Afra Nasa, but call on the Surafim Afra Mutta. So it's only called Nisrofim in that sense, that if you want to use the yeshes, right, the whole existence of the separate category only means if you'll burn it, the yeshes will be mutabana, but it doesn't mean you're mchuyif to burn it.
Which it defines the extent of the hanor.
Yeah, yeah. It's a limitation in the yisur hanor. And the other poskim assume that the some sefer is wrong. That the Mishnah says Nisrofim means it's a mitzvah to burn it. And the reason why it's not counted in the minyan mitzvah is because it's not mufurish in the pasuk. You don't count things that are only learned out through the midrash and the rashi's men. Why is it that over here they didn't fulfill the mitzvah burning the orla? So the achrayim say that orla b'chutz la'aretz doesn't have the mitzvah strength. Now you raise the question. So what? Counted the some say. Why does the gemara say it only applies b'chutz la'aretz? So the gemara explains on the next line why. The gemara says, why does Rav say from all the four things that are edible on this bush? So Rav says the laws of Orla only apply to the main fruit, not to the berries and not to the shell of the fruit and not to the leaves. These are the people who commonly eat all four of these things. And they would recite a bracha. So if you recite Ho'adomo on the two, on the leaves and on the berries, Ho'adomo, then the Rajbi said that that may not be accepted Lamaskana. We discussed last week. Maybe Lamaskana, it's all fruit and it's a different reason why it's Adam. But the Rajbi said at this point, at least when you learn this Gemara, leaving out the Gemara and Erevin, that whatever you recite the Bracha Hadama on is not subject to the laws of Orla. Orla only applies to fruit. They grow on trees. If, let's say you have a tree and have four types of things grow on that tree. Two of the things that grow on the tree we label as fruit, and the other two things we label as vegetables for some strange reason or another. Then the two that are labeled as vegetables will not be subject to the laws of Orla. Orla only applies, number one, to a tree, number two, to the fruit of the tree, to the tree of the eggs. But if it's a vegetable that happens to be growing on a tree, then the laws of Orla don't apply. Fine. So why two out of the four things are not subject to Orla? That's okay, because those are vegetables. But why is it the other two? The Gemara said that two out of these four things that grow on the tree, you say, Baruch Hu eggs. And this Omar Yud Amar Rav. Rav is quoted as saying that the laws of Orla only apply to the fruit and not to the shell around the fruit. So the Gemara asks, how can it be? But the shell around the fruit is also Baruch Hu eggs. So it should also be called a pre, a fruit that's growing on a tree. So it ought to be, and it's edible, so it should also be subject to the laws of Orla. That was the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, well, there's a machlokes in the Mishnah and Maisus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer both say that not all the four things that grow on this bush are subject to the laws of Trumas and Maisus. They're not talking about Orla, they're talking about Trumas and Maisus. Rabbi Akiva says, one out of the four, only the fruit itself is subject to Trumas and Maisus, and the other three, the shell of the fruit with the berries, with the leaves, are considered eights beyond, and there's no din of Trumas and Maisus. And Rabbi Eliezer's sheet is just the reverse, that three out of the four do have the din of Trumas and Maisus, and the only thing that doesn't have the din of Trumas and Maisus are the leaves. The leaves are considered eights beyond. So the Gemara says, since there is a Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, even though we will not accept the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael, let's say in Eretz Yisrael we will accept the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that three out of the four have the laws of Pri, three out of the four have a thing of Trumas and Maisus. So three out of the four things that grow in this bush, just leaving out the leaves, don't have a din of Pri. But the fruit that grows and the berries that grow and the shells that grow around the fruit, so all three of those will have a din of Pri. Number one with respect to Trumas and Maisus, number two with respect to the din of Orla. Whatever is Pri is subject to the laws of Orla. So although in Eretz Yisrael, that's how the Gemara reads, although the Rambam doesn't pass like this Gemara, that's how the Gemara says, although in Eretz Yisrael we will pass like Rabbi Eliezer, but in Chutz La'aretz we accept the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. That's how the Gemara says. Because the Gemara asks a question at this point. The Gemara asks, if Rav is just saying the din is like Rabbi Eliezer, so why doesn't he say so? The name Alochik Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva sheet around. The Gemara says that Omer Abiyud Amar Rav,
still talking about Trumas and Maisus, right?
Right.
Trumas and Maisus is a Nisim Baraisa, I mean, the Mitzvah Baraisa, and then it's puts lard, we're talking about not only the galbanum.
We're not talking about trumas and maises with puts lard. We're just talking, no. We're just talking about... Yeah, trumas and maises in Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about trumas and maises in Eretz Yisrael. And then we're talking about the din of Orlo, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. We're talking about three things. Trumas and maises in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, four things. The Gemara is going to talk about four. So far we only spoke about three. The Gemara will introduce the fourth one. Trumas and maises in Eretz Yisrael is Minat Torah, usually. Trumas and maises in Chutz La'aretz is Midirabbanan. Orlo and Eretz Yisrael is certainly Minat Torah. And all the B'chutz L'Oretz is either Halacha Moshe Sinai or Midirabbanan. The Gemara is going to talk about all four.
Right, correct.
So the Gemara is going to discuss, the Gemara makes an equation here. Whatever is called pre, whatever part of the bush or whatever part of the tree is labeled as fruit with respect to the obligation of Trumas and Maisros, that part of the tree is labeled as pre with respect to the Dinam of Orla as well. But only, the laws of Orla only apply to pre, Varat Malos as Piriyo Lo Yeyochel, only applies to the pre, just like the laws of Trumas and Maisros only apply to the Peiris, don't apply to the Eights. That's the Gemara's assumption. So the Gemara asks, if Rav Yudah is just quoting in the name of Rav, that from all the four things that are edible on the bush, on this caper bush, only one of them has the status of pre, only the main fruit itself, and the berries and the shell of that fruit and the leaves don't have the status of pre, so why does he beat around the bush? Why doesn't he just say halachic Rabbi Akiva? Then Rabbi Akiva says like that with respect to Trumas and Maisros. Frek the Gemara, name halachic Rabbi Akiva. Let him say over the Mishnah and Maisros, where the Machlevs are Akiva and Rabbi Lezer appears, and say, I pass like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, no, because he doesn't want to paskin all the way like Rabbi Akiva. The original Machlevs of Akiva and Rabbi Lezer is regarding Trumas and Maisros in Eretz Yisrael. We have four shilas here. Trumas Maisros in Eretz Yisrael is Minat Torah. Trumas Maisros in Chutz La'aretz is Midirabbanan. Orla in Eretz Yisrael is Minat Torah. And Orla B'chutz La'aretz is either Halacha L'Moshe Sinai or it's Midirabbanan. So we have four things that we're going to discuss over here. Which parts of this caper bush are higher than Trumas Maisros and Orla, which not? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rab, is not paskening like Rabbi Akiva all the way. He Omar Halacha Rabbi Akiva. If he would have quoted the Mishnah in Maisros and say, and I hold the halacha should be like Rabbi Akiva, Hava Amina, I would have said, Afilo Baretz. I would have assumed that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Rav is saying, we always pass them straight like Rabbi Akiva with respect to this din, that the only part of the caper bush that's labeled as pre is the main fruit, and the other three things, even though they're edible, are not considered pre, it's considered eight. Komash Malon, that's why Rabbi Yehuda quotes in the name of Rav, he doesn't say halacha Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't comment on the Mishnah Maisros. He says, what's the din if you have Orlo B'chutz La'aretz? That's why he mentions Chutz La'aretz. Slavshel Orlo B'chutz La'aretz. And there he says, I assume like Rabbi Akiva, that the laws of Orlo B'chutz La'aretz only apply to the Kaprisim, only apply to the Avionis, only apply to the main fruit, and the laws of Orlo don't apply to the other three parts of the bush that are edible. Kamash Malon, the Gemara says, that's why Rabbi Yehuda worded it like this, that you should realize that he's only mekel in Orlo B'chutz La'aretz. What's the rule that whenever there's a machlokes hatanaim in Hilchos Orlo in Eretz Yisrael, even on Eretz Yisrael we go lechumre like over here, Rav Yehuda seems to paskin in the name of Rav like Rabbi Eliezer in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise we say halacha Rabbi Akiva period. He would tell on the Mishnah in Maisros and say the machlokes hatanaim Rabbi Akiva, I paskin like Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't say that. He says, I only accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion with respect to Orlo B'chutz La'aretz. Why? Because you have a ruling called Amekel Baretz, Halacha Kemoisa B'chutz La'aretz. Whenever you have a Machlokes HaTanoim, and one is Mach and one is Mekel regarding Orlo B'Eretz Yisrael, so even though the Gabi Orlo B'Eretz Yisrael, we are Machmir, we would accept Rabbi Lezer Shita, when it comes to Orlo B'chutz La'aretz, we are Mekel.
Isn't that sure that it's not Dorabonim? I mean, it is Dorabonim.
Oh, so the question is, what in the world is this based on? Bichlal, what is it based on, period? What is why should I say like that? If the halacha is always gepaskin in Eretz Yisrael like Rav Lezer, how do you change the psak all of a sudden with Chutz La'aretz? That you should paskin like Rav Akiva? The Gemara never explains what this is based on. But there's a Ran at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, famous Ran, where the Ran explains what the story is. What's the secret to this halacha? The Ran explains as follows. The Gemara says at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, these two opinions, whether Orla b'Chutz La'aretz is halacha l'moshe b'Sinai or it's a din midirabbanan. So the Gemara says, shouldn't it make a difference with respect to Safek? We have a din that's Sveka de Raisa Lechuna and Sveka de Rabbanon Lechuna. Whenever you have a Safek with respect to a din de Rabbanon, you go Lechuna. Whenever you have a Safek with respect to a din Menatari, you go Lechuna. So what should the din be by Safik Orla B'chutz L'Oretz? Let's say I have a bush, I bought a house, and I have with it bushes, it has bushes with it trees, and I know that the fellow who owned it before me, the guy who owned it before, planted it recently, not such an old, or he replanted the bush. You have the din of Orla applies even if you replant bushes. Let's say I take out an old tree that was planted 100 years ago, I take out the whole tree, and I replant it. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah say that the laws of Orla begin all over again. So the fruit that will grow in the first 3 years will be awesome. The fruits that grow in the fourth year will have the dinner neter revive. Whatever grows in the fifth year, that will be muta. The same dinner will apply there. So let's say I know that the fellow who owned this field before me just replanted some trees or bushes, and I just can't ascertain, he moved away now, and I can't ascertain exactly how old it is. How many years ago he planted it. So what's the din? So you ought to say that if Orla B'chutz L'Oretz only be the Rabbanon, so speak of the Rabbanon L'Kula. But if the laws of Orla should be Halacha L'Moshe Mistina B'chutz L'Oretz, Halacha L'Moshe Mistina is a din minat Torah. It just says it's Torah Shabbat Peh, so it's not Torah Shabbat Peh. But if it's Torah Shabbat Peh, it's also a din minat Torah. So you ought to say that Safik Deraisa L'Chumer. So the Gemara for Takash and Kiddushin that we have a Mishnah in Orla that says the Safik is on the last line on this daf. Mishnah in Orla is quoted here. Safik Orla Beretz Yisrael also Besuria Muta B'chutz L'Oretz Yorin V'lo Keh. It says explicitly that outside of Eretz Yisrael, Safik Orla is Muta. We'll have to get to the details a little later. What's the difference in Suria and the rest of Chutz L'Oretz? But the Mishnah says clearly that outside of Eretz Yisrael, Safik Orla is Muta. In America, Safik Orla is very Muta. Very, very Muta. And in Suria, it's Muta. Not very, very Muta, it's Muta. But the halacha is that Safik Orla outside of Eretz Yisrael is Muta. So the Gemara asks, how could it be Muta? If you are telling me that Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, don't we have a din that Sveika the rice? L'chumah halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is a din the rice. So the Gemara answers on that question, that kach nemra halacha. That's part of the package deal of the halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that vado asur and Sveika muta. That Safik Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is muta. Not only if you hold that Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is the Rabbana, even if Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, kach nemra halacha, that Safik Orla is muta. What exactly does that mean? So some understand the Rambam as, the Rambam seems to say, the Rambam doesn't say black and white, the Ramban and other Mefarshim on the Rambam understand the Rambam to say that the Gemara's answer was that Safik Halacha Moshe Messina is always Lakul. The Gemara in general, a universal ruling, not, the Gemara originally asked, yes, shouldn't it be a difference between these two opinions, that Atar L'Bechutz L'Oretz is there, a Safik should be L'Chumr. Atar L'Bechutz L'Oretz is the Rabbanon, a Safik should be L'Kula. And the Mishnah says explicitly that Safik Atar L'Bechutz L'Oretz is L'Kula, so it's B'Feirish Mishnah, that Atar L'Bechutz L'Oretz can only be with the Rabbanon. So the Rambam seems to learn that the Gemara answered to that question, Kach Nemra Halacha, that in every Halacha Moshe Messina, even though it's Taka Deraisa, Safik Halacha Moshe Messina is Lakul. That's what the Rambam seems to say. The Rambam just writes that there's an exception to the rule. The following case, let's say I have a mikveh. A person is Tamei, a person a Nida, let's say, has to go to mikveh. The requirement for our boy saw the exact amount of water, the minimum amount of water you have to have, is a Halacha Moshe Messina. There's no explicit pasuk in the Chumash what the minimum volume of water needed for the mikveh is. That's Halacha Moshe Messina. So what if I have... What?
Haboim Soh.
Right. The 40 Soh, the Mem Soh. So the Rambam writes that that's Halacha Moshe Messina. So the Mishnah writes in the Kvoz... That's a question if that's Minat Torah or the Rabbanon. But the Mem Soh is for sure a Din Minat Torah. The Haboim Soh is a Din Minat Torah. It's a halacha l'moshe m'sinah. It's not written mefurish, but it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinah. So the Mishnah has a mikvah. Is what if somebody was tovel in the mikveh, and he's mesupik whether the mikveh in which he was tovel had aboim stor, didn't have aboim stor. The Mishnah says that the tefillah was no good. The tefillah is not oil aloy, because it's a suffik and it didn't derive.
The person would not need to water completely.
Yeah.
The aboim
soh is the average amount of water that's necessary for a normal sized person to fit into. But let's say it's a midget, so a baby. Okay, a baby can be taken on less than aboim soh. So
we once learned that you could get away with that. It has to be 4 times greater than the amount of, let's say, you have a spoon. So it only has to be 4 times greater than the spoon.
No. Tfilas kelim is a different one. Tfilas kelim, the Gemara says, Menatar, all you need is revius. All you need is a radius of water, which is very little, the volume of an egg and a hair. And with the Rabbanah, they were machmir, and the Gemara says, the clue of the Rabbiyas. The Gemara Nosa says they abolished that din and you can no longer be tabled kelim in the mikvah of the reviews of water. You always have to have 40 so both for Adam and for Kim.
But for Adam, it's a dinner. It should be a shade over,
For the next person, you need some more water. But for the first one that goes in, I buy him so it's good. But if you want to have a mikveh that's good for two people, so then the first one is going to walk out, he's going to take some of the water with him. So you have to have more than our boim sur. Right.
The mikveh is only for one person.
Right. For one person, you need 40 sur. So the Rambam seems there, when the Rambam quotes that din from the Mishnah, and mikvos, the Rambam helps us mikvos, quotes that Mishnah mikvos. So he seems to be posing a question and giving an answer. He seems to be asking, but why do you go to Chumrah? But after all, the need for our boim sur is only halacha Moshe Mesinai. And don't we know that whenever there's any suffix in any halacha Moshe Mesinai, go to Kula? That's what he seems to be implying, Akasha. So he answers, he gives you the answer without telling you the Akasha. He says that when you say suffix halacha Moshe Mesinai, look Kula, that's the whole thing is halacha Moshe Mesinai. But here the Chumash says you have to be tevil in the mikvah. That says Mefurish in the Chumash. Except that the amount of water is unclear. That's only derived through halacha Moshe Mesinai. The shear is halacha Moshe Mesinai. But the requirement for mikvah is explicit in the Chumash. So such halacha Moshe Mesinai is fake l'chumra. So that Rambam seems to corroborate what the Ramban was choshed. The Ramban in the Hasagas to the Sefer HaMitzvos is choshed. He suspects that the Rambam holds that when the Gemara says safek orla b'chutzlo, it's l'kula, that it's not only limited to orla b'chutzlo, it's the fruits that grow the first 3 years. It applies to any halacha Moshe, any and every halacha Moshe Mesinai that you say sfeik l'kula. That you only say suffix.
Most shiurim, all shiurim are halacha Moshe Mesinai.
Right, right.
So for the shiur, you have kilas matzah and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's why the same way, the same suffix, just like a suffix mikvah wouldn't apply here, because you have mitzvah, right. Eating matzah is minat Torah, and therefore the suffix of the shiur.
Right.
So it's not just by mikvah alone, all these halachas, wherever the shiur is tied into a mitzvah.
That's right. Other shiur, whatever halacha Mesinai applies, right?
What is the case?
Isn't it, doesn't most end of the
time? Shurus, yeah.
In other words, when you say any halacha, just like shiurim.
No, that's what the Rambam distinguishes. The Rambam seems to distinguish that if the whole din is a legamri, it's mitchilasa halacha Moshe Mesinai, even though halacha Moshe Mesinai is a din minat Torah, we will say sveika lahakel. But if it's a din that's mefurish minat Torah, it's written in Torah Shebichsav, and just the shiurim are known to us, then the Rambam says sveika l'chumra, because the ikar din is written in the chumra. So the Rambam seems to say, the Rambam seems to understand the Gemara the way the Ramban did, that safek orla b'chutz lo says l'kula is why, because it's halacha Moshe Mesinai, because all halachas Moshe Mesinai are l'kula, safek l'kula by all halachas Moshe Mesinai. That's what the Rambam seems to hold, but the Ramban says that it's wrong, and it's generally accepted like the Ramban, that if you have a din that's halacha Moshe Mesinai, so it's a real din min haTorah. So just like he says, Sveika deraisa l'chumra and a din that's written in the Chumash, so he says, Sveika deraisa l'chumra and a din that's not written in the Chumash, if it's a biblical din, if it's a din min haTorah, I say, Safik deraisa l'chumra, even if it's halacha l'mosh m'sina. But our law, the chutz laretz, is the one exception to the rule. That a safik, our law, the chutz laretz, is kach nemer halacha over here. This is part of this package deal of this halacha l'mosh m'sina, that Sveika is mutl. Only over here, dafke by this. So the Ram, at the end of the first parak in Kedushin, points out that you have to admit that here it's a special din. He doesn't like that Rambam, that it's a universal din that you always, just like you say Sveika derabbanan l'kula, so you also say Safek halacha Moshe Mesinai l'kula, and that's why if Safek orla b'chutz laretz is l'kula. The Ram says it cannot be, because by Safek orla b'chutz laretz, I go l'kula even to a greater extent than I would go l'kula in a Sveika derabbanan. For example, let's say I go to the store and I want to buy some product, and I don't know whether it's kosher or treif. Let's say the farmer himself is selling his flour or he's selling his grapes. And I can ask him, is this orla, is this klei akerem? And he'll tell me the truth. He has no reason why he should tell me the lie. So the Gemara says, if it's a shayla v'din de rabbanon, that I say sveika de rabbanon l'kula, so you're not allowed to buy a product in the shop. That, and let's say I buy something in the A&P which may or may not be treif, and even if it's treif, it's only treif v'din de rabbanon. So you don't say, I close my eyes and I don't ask any questions, whatever I don't know doesn't hurt me, and the worst it can be is midirabbanon, so it's only sveika derabbanon l'kula. You're not allowed to do that. If by simply lifting up the telephone you can call up the OU, or you call up the company, and they'll tell you what it is, whether it's made from this product or that, they'll tell you what ingredients they have. Even though the whole treif is, the maximum that it can be treif is only midirabbanon, you're not allowed to say this, sveika derabbanon l'kula. Sveikin Rabbanan Kol means if it's Yefshe Levar, if it's difficult to be Mevar, but if you can easily ascertain what the facts are, you can find out if it's really Treves, then you're not allowed to be Meikol to say Sveikin Rabbanan Kol. Here, by Orla B'chutz Lord, you're allowed to be Meikol even if you can easily ascertain. I can go to my next door neighbor who's a Jew. That's where the Gemara draws a distinction between Surya and Chutz Lords. In Surya, if you have a real Suffolk, you're allowed to be Meikol. But in Chutz Lords, even if it's not a real Suffolk, it's Suffolk Shevshel Avarer. In Chutz Lords, it's a Suffolk that you can easily ascertain what the facts of the case are. Nevertheless, you're allowed to buy this stuff and not ask, you know, to ask any questions. So you see, it's Suffolk Orla B'chutz Lords is such a good heter, it's even a better heter than Sveika de Rabbanu L'Kulu. That's what the Ram points out.
I wish you bring it, if you send someone to the field to pick some fruit, and you know that it's all on one side of this, you just have to close your eyes and assume that you most likely, but you don't care.
Not assume. I can, Yerid V'Lakeach, that's this Gemara. I can buy it from a person, even though this farmer, I know this farmer has some Orla crops and some crops that are not Orla. If I know that everything the farmer is selling is Orla, then it's Vaday Orla. Then it's Vaday Orla is awesome. But if I know that he has half of his fields are Orla, half are not Orla, and he's a Jew, and if I'll ask him, he'll tell me the truth, I'm not mukhayif to ask him. I'm allowed to purchase by him, and he doesn't violate the Isra of Lifnei V'Lasit HaMikshel. If you give me treifis, then you violate Lifnei V'Lasit HaMikshel, because I violate an Avera when I eat it. Here, the Halacha says that since I am a Supik, since I don't know whether it's treif or kosher, so it's muta for me. So if it's muta for me, so you don't violate the Lifnei V'Lasit HaMikshel.
Same as my too?
No, by Demai no. By Demai means tvua, whatever produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael that I bought from an Amhara. It's a person who is chashud that perhaps he wasn't mafish trumas and asa sedeh. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to sell it to someone else.
Then, unless
you're mafish trumas and
asa sedeh. We listen to him. We can ask him. We can ascertain information. We can ask him.
We can ask him.
The farmer.
I buy from an Amhoretz. The Minat Torah. I do rely on him. The Rabban. They made a chumah that I'm not allowed to rely on Amhoretz. I have to be mafish. But let's say I buy the mine from the Amhoretz and I resell it to someone else. So the Amhoretz says I have to be mafish and I'm not allowed to sell it to the other guy unless I'm mafish, unless I warn him in advance that this is the mine. You should know you're not allowed to eat it until you'll be mafish.
But if I'm Jewish, can I sell all of it? I mean, first of all, do I know? I'm a farmer, now get the other side. You also buy more from me.
Oh, that's a kasha that
I can sell them. I mean, in other words, you have to go.
That's a kasha. If you know that it's Orlo, and Orlo B'chutz Lo'ar says also B'hanor, so how can you sell it to the other fellow and get paid money for it? You're making money on Yisuri Hanor. That's Ashtar Kikash. So to answer that kasha, Din Etziv, in his commentary on the Shilkas, wants to come up with a Chiddush Nifla. He says Din Etziv was Rab Chaim's wife's grandfather. Chaim Soloveitchik's wife's grandfather. So he comes up with the Chiddush of Rab Chaim before Rab Chaim. And he goes even further. He wants to say that Orla B'chutz Lo'aretz is a separate halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, but not only is it not Ton Sreifa, it's even Muta B'Hanor. Why is it not Ton Sreifa? Because it's Muta B'Hanor. Where do you find anything that's, how can you find something that's Ton Sreifa if it's Muta B'Hanor? The Torah never tells you you have to burn something if it's Muta B'Hanor. The Chambal Tashkes. The Torah will only require of us that we have to burn Pigel, Noise, Tomei, Orla, Klea Kerem, if it's Asman HaChomiz B'Pesach. Rabbi Yitzhak Gavuri says the Chomiz B'Pesach is Muta B'Hanor. He disagrees with the we pass the Chometz on Pesach as also Bano. And Rabbi Yisrael Glini says Muta Bano. So the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Yisrael Glini, they say, how can you say the Chometz with Pesach is Muta Bano? How can the Torah say you have to burn it if it's Muta Bano? How can the Torah tell us a Baltashkes to burn something that's Muta Bano? Whenever you have an incident to destroy something, obviously the Torah is implying that the thing is also Bano. Not only is it also Bano, you can't just throw it out in the garbage, you have to burn it, you have to destroy it. So it's obviously also Bano. So the Netziv, in his commentary on the Shultis, wants to say like Rab Chaim says, that Orla B'chutz Lo'aretz is not Ton Sreifa, you don't have to burn it, that's what the Gemara implies, you throw it in the garbage. And why don't you have to burn it? Because it's a separate Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, it's not included in the Pasuk, and it's Muta B'Hanor, the Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. And Achanami says you may sell it. He says that it's only Asa B'Achinos. He claims you're allowed to sell it to a Nachri. He says you're allowed to sell it to a Nachri. And Achanami. If you want to do business with a guy, he says he may sell it to another. He says that it's Muta B'Hanor. Well, that's a very Yachidish Nifla.
I'm back on the Jew, one Jew doing business with another Jew. I know this Jewish farmer has both, and I don't have to ask him.
Right.
He, on the other hand, knows it's all over. What's he doing?
So he's not violating Lifnei V'Lasit HaMikshel when he feeds it to me, because at the time that I eat it, I don't know that it's treif. So that's the halacha of Orla B'chutz Lo'aretz. If I don't know that it's treif, so the halacha says I'm not violating any of it.
It's always that way. I don't know what it is, but I'm giving you something that's
also to you. Yeah, but it's also, if, let's say, if I'm eating chazen, I'm eating something that's not kosher. So even though I didn't know that it was straight, but I'm still doing an avera. But let's say if a person is eating olam chutzlos without realizing that it's olam, then it's not considered an avera at all. So when the farmer sells it to me, he doesn't violate. Well, there are two problems. The farmer knows that it's olam, so he doesn't violate lifnei v'nisita mikshel, because when I will be eating it, I will not know that it's treif. If I don't know that it's treif, there's no avera at all. It's unlike other non-kosher products. That if I eat food that's not kosher, I'm doing an avera b'shogeg. Here it doesn't constitute an avera at all. The only kasha is, but he's getting hanor. That's a kasha. That's a very good kasha. So the Netziv comes up with this fantastic teretz that is mutabano. That all the chutzlots is not ton sreifa. Why? Because it's mutabano. Because it's a separate halacha mentioned in the sinner, that it's only also
bafila. Oh,
so he says anachinami. You don't have to throw it away. You can sell it to Jews or non-Jews. You can sell it to non-Jews even if you tell them that's something. I don't know. He says, you throw it away if you're not interested in going into the business. He said, Rav was a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he wasn't interested in selling his fruits and vegetables.
He threw it away. Fish in a restaurant.
Yes. No, so there. Even if he doesn't realize, even if the person doesn't realize it, but if the fish has a bliya, fish is kosher, but it has a bliya from the tray for pots and pans, or the dishes, or the forks, then it just became treif, even if he doesn't realize it, but he's eating treif for food, the shogeg. But here, the halacha says that if you don't realize that it's our law, there's no aveira if it's b'chutz l'oritz. Asaf agar lez muta b'chutz l'oritz.
Yeah, but they know it's a treif for the rest. How can it be?
So that's taka asa. That's taka asa. No, but over here, the Gemara says, by our law b'chutz l'oritz is muta. So getting back here, the Ran, at the end of the first parak in Kedushin, the Ran on his commentary on the Rif, has the following comment. He says, what kind of a din is this? That in Eretz Yisrael, the din is like Rabbi Eliezer. The three parts out of the caper bush that are edible, just like Rabbi Akiva. Kola, mekel ba'aretz, if there's a machlekes in Eretz Yisrael and Hilchos Orlah. So since Rabbi Akiva's sheet is lahakal even in Eretz Yisrael, even though we don't pass like him in Eretz Yisrael, we pass like Rabbi Eliezer, but b'chutz l'oritz, we do accept his opinion. What kind of business is that? So the Ran says, this is all included in the halacha, that Safek Arla b'chutz l'oritz is mutter. Safek Arla means that any Safek koldahu, you go l'kula. So Safek koldahu means, let's say there's this, I have a Safek, whether the farmer is selling me Arla fruits or selling me regular fruits. I don't even have to ask any questions. Even if I'll ask easily, I can easily ascertain whether these are the Arla fruits or not. The halacha says b'chutz l'oritz is more of a heter than Surya. Yod v'lakech. I can buy from a Jewish farmer whom I fourth year, or is it within the first 3-4 years? So that's a suffik emitzius. I don't know if this is orla or not. Then I have another kind of a suffik orla b'chutz la. I have a speki d'dina. I know all the facts, and I have a machlekes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva. What the halacha is? The laws of orla are only applicable to the pre part of the tree. Whatever is eitz is not subject to orla. So there's a machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer. How many things from the edible parts of fourth year or is it within the first 3-4 years? So that's a Safik Mitzias. I don't know if this is Arla or not. Then I have another kind of a Safik Arla B'chutzlah. It's Abisveke Dina. I know all the facts and I have a machlekes between Ablezer and Abakiva, what the halacha is. The laws of Arla are only applicable to the pre-part of the tree. Whatever is eight is not subject to Arla. So there's a machlekes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. How many things from the edible parts of the caper bush, how many of them are labeled as pre? So Rabbi Lezer says 3 out of the 4. Rabbi Kiva says only 1 out of the 4. So that's also called the Radis Machadish, that's also called the Safik Arla B'chutzlah. A Sfeik of the Dina is also a Safik Arla. And even though the Dina is always gepaskin like Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara seems to imply the halacha like Rabbi Lezer. So that's what his chiddush is. He says, when you have a machlokes Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, and you pass from like Rabbi Lezer, doesn't mean Rabbi Kiva is wrong. So the Gemara says, no, that we say, Eila vi Eila, Dibur l'kimchak. The Gemara says in Erev, in Daf Yud Gimel. And whenever you have a machlokes ha-tanoim, a machlokes ha-apostim, so you don't say that the one who loses the machlokes is wrong, the other one is right. One is right, one is wrong. They say, no, Eila vi Eila, Dibur l'kimchak. What do you mean, Eila vi Eila? How can it be that Eila vi Eila, Dibur l'kimchak? Either he's right or he's right. We're both right. What do you mean? How can they both be right? So the Mefarshim say on that Gemara, the Maharsha says, and the Ritva says, and others, Marami Prague has long essay on this. They envision it as follows. When the Rabban Shalom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, and he was teaching him all of Dinim 40 days and 40 nights, so Moshe Rabbeinu asked him, what's the din in this case, what's the din in that case, what's the din in this case? So the Rabban Shalom said, this case is black, that's us. And this is white, that's Mutar. In this case, the gray area, Kindalach, do whatever you understand. He leaves it up to the discretion of the Chachmei Hador. Doesn't leave it up to the Balabatim. He leaves it up to the discretion of the Rabbanim. To the Chachmei Hador, those who are Roy Lo Hayruah, to the Chachmei Hador, to the Kol Dor Hador, that they should determine based on their understanding of Kol Torah Kulo whether this gray area should belong to the black, should be us, or it should be Mutter. He leaves it up to their discretion. So that's whenever the Gemara has a Machlokes Tanoim or a Machlokes Amoraim, it's going to be on a gray area, we assume. There is sometimes we won't say let's say Moshe Rabbeinu was told explicitly that the din is like this, and the Gemara is not sure what the tradition was. There was a clear cut tradition 1,000 years earlier, and the tradition was broken. The tradition was lost. So then you don't say either he's right or he's right, but we can't both be right. And it's Tarek HaMachlokes. What did the Rabban Shalom tell Moshe Rabbeinu? So then the Poskim say that you don't say Eilu V'Eilu. Rashi and Tesis and the Achaim say you don't say. Either he's right or he's right. But whenever you have a machlokes in a gray area, that there was no masorah b'feirish, what the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu. He told him that the black thing is also and the white thing is mutter. And the gray thing, he didn't say is a sofek. He said he leaves it up to the understanding of the Chachmei Hador Shebichol Davador to determine and to decide according to their hasogeh of Kol HaTorah Kulo where this fits in, how they envision it.
Every dog can have a different interpretation.
Right. Every dog can have a different interpretation. That's how the Gemara says. After the Chesimus HaTalmud, the Gemara says you cannot be Cholik. It's a question. Why? The Gemara says, Rabbina v'Ravashi Seifai Ro. But the Gemara says, Amoraim can disagree with Tanoim. There's no halacha that an Amora can disagree with a Tan. The Ramban writes like that in Bava Kamma. We have many times that an Amora disagrees with a Tan and he passes against the Mishnah with no Tana to back him up. Why did the Gemara always say, when an Amora says it did, the Gemara will ask Akasha from a Mishnah or a Bryce, and the Gemara will say, Tiyufte means Zogif correct, you see that he's wrong. So the Ramban writes because the Mishnah writes like that also on the Ramban because they usually would back out from their shita if you show them that a Tana disagreed. They would have no Tana to support them, so they would usually not be so convinced of their shita that they're right that they're going to go argue with a Tana. But if he's so convinced, if the Amor is so convinced that he even wants to disagree with all the Tana, so isn't there? If he's a Bar Hochi, if he's entitled to an opinion, that's time a Balabas decides that he wants to disagree with the Tana. So then he's not entitled to an opinion. But if it's an Amor who knows how to learn well and he's entitled to an opinion, then he can even disagree with the Tana. So Amoraim can disagree with Tanoim, but after the Chesimus HaTalmud, that's what the Gemara says, Rabbeinu Ravashi, sorry for your wrong. So the question why that's so, it's a different shmuz, I don't think that's different now, but it's an important topic, why that's so, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that we cannot be chalik on the Gemara, but after the Gemara, so Achareinim can disagree with Rishonim, just that we don't have that habit to disagree. We usually assume, Achareinim usually assume that if it says in the Rishon Faker, so they'll give in that probably the Rishon is right and they're wrong. But if the Achareinim is one who insists that he's right, a person like the Vilna Gaon many times disagreeing with all the Rishonim and all the Gaonim, he would disagree and present his own shita. Why? Because he was one who was entitled to an opinion. He was familiar with all the material in this area and in other areas. And he had an overview of Kol HaTorah Kulo. He had a good picture of everything that was going on. And if he was convinced that this, his shita was right, he would disagree, even with Rishon. But he can't disagree with Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Rav Ashi is sorry for Lord, that he can't disagree with. The question why that's so.
You also say one of them is wrong. In other words,
it depends what they're fighting about. If you have a shaila, what the gears is? Either the gears is A or the gears is B. Can't be both.
Like a
or you have a machlokes how to interpret it. Or something like that. Well, what's the pshat? What did he say? What case is he talking about? So either he's right or he's right. The mayor, usually when the Amoraim argue, usually the Amoraim argue what's pshat in a Tana. So if that's the case, that the Amoraim are fighting what did the Tana say, that's what Rashi and Tosfos say, then you don't say Elavi Eladiv Elokim Chai. Because they're arguing about a historical fact. What did Rav Meir mean? What did Rav Lezer mean? What did Rav Akiva mean? So then you don't say Elavi Elav. We say one is right and one is wrong. And once we pass in who's right, we're assuming that he's really right. So it's dangerous. We're assuming that historically that's what that Tana meant. And we're passing La Locha like that. Then we're assuming that the other one is really wrong. But whenever you have Amoraim who have a Machlekes Aliba, then Avshayim, they have a new Machlekes, not how to read a Mishnah, what the text of the Mishnah should be, or what the case is, what the Akimta case is. You argue about a new din, what should the din be in a certain case that's not discussed in the Mishnah. So then you can say by Amoraim also, Elu V'Elu Divi L'Kim Chai. So this is what the Achronim explain over here. Now why is this considered a Suffolk or Lo B'Chutz Lor, not only a Suffolk in Mitzvah, it's even a Suffolk in Din. Why is it a Suffolk in Din? Machlekes Rav Lezer and Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says we pass like Rav Lezer in Eretz Yisrael. Why all of a sudden you pass like Rabbi Akiva B'Chutz Lor? So the answer is, when we pass like Rav Lezer against Rabbi Akiva, or in general, in a million and one cases where you pass in and you take a stand on a Machlekes Tanoim, a Machlekes Amoraim, it doesn't mean that the one who loses is wrong. If he's wrong, he's wrong, and Eretz Yisrael is wrong, Chutz Lor also. If he's wrong, he's wrong. The answer is he's not wrong. It's Eilu V'Eilu Dibu L'Kim Chayim, that the Rabbanu Shalom, we assume the Rabbanu Shalom never told Moshe Rabbeinu before what the din is. Because most of the din, 99.99% of the din that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Masorah was preserved. The Machlokes throughout all the generations were on new shailas that came up, new din that were not told explicitly to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there's a 0.1%, you have a Machlokes, partial Machlokes and Mitzvahs. What was the Halakha of Moshe Sinai? What was the tradition, like Tzururis that you mentioned? The Gemara Bava Kamma has a machlokes, Sumchas Nirabonim, was there a halacha Moshe Sinai Tzuris? Or was there not a halacha Moshe Sinai Tzuris? That's a simple, that's how Rashi and Tosfos read the Gemara. The Rambam doesn't read the Gemara like that. The Rambam has a different interpretation. But according to Rashi and Tosfos, that Gemara is an unusual case. We simply have a machlokes in Mitzvahs. What was the oral tradition that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai? Was he told that there's a law of Tzuris? Was he not told there's a law of Tzuris? But that's, even according to the Rashi and Tosfos, who learned the Gemara like that, that's a very unusual case. We assume that 99.99% of the machlokes in the Gemara, the Gemara has lots of machlokes in it. From the beginning to the end, the Gemara is full of machlokes. We assume that all the machlokes are not machlokes. What did Moshe Rabbeinu give over by Masorah? What was in the din in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? We assume that the Rabbanu Shalom didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu what the din was in that case. This is one of the gray areas of Halacha, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu left up to the discretion of the Chachmei Hador, the Kol Dovah Dor, to determine according to their understanding of Halacha.
All of Chutz Lor also machlokes. It is Halacha Moshe Mizrachim.
Yeah.
It's the other one, right?
Yes. Yeah, this is one of the unusual cases. Right? here's machlokes and Mitzvahs. Either it is Halacha Moshe Mizrachim or it's not. It can't be Eilu V'Eilu Dibur L'Kim Chayim. This is another case, right? You have a few cases in the Gemara. You have the Chavis Yoy wrote a tshuva where he added up all the cases. It has something over 150. Between 150 and 160 cases. But the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Mishnayos that you never have a machlokes in the Gemara Halacha Moshe Mizrachim. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was told at Har Sinai, he passed over by Masorah. Whatever was given over, I said, how are they going to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu? Whatever he told them, that's the din. You only have a machlokes and a new case that came up later on a case that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give up psaka. So the Chavis Yoy writes in the tshuva that it's not correct, that you have many cases in the Gemara where there are halachos Moshe Mizrachim. He lists over 150 cases, which are halachos Moshe Mizrachim. Okay. But in comparison to him, the Rambam lists off how many halachas l'moshe m'sinai there are. He lists a very small list, and he says that we don't have any machlokes in the Gemara halachas l'moshe m'sinai. So the Chavis Yoy says that he's wrong. There are over 150 times that the Gemara says something is halachas l'moshe m'sinai, and of those 150, there are around 10 or 20 where the Gemara does have a machlokes. Not that you have 150 cases, you have 150 halachas l'moshe m'sinai. And of them, between 10 and 20 have machlokes in the Gemara. So it's very little in comparison to all the other machlokes. That's partial machlokes in what is right and what is wrong. You can't say in such a case, Eile v'Eile di rili kimcha. So that's what the Ran explains on this cloud. How can you pass like Rav Lezer in Eretz Yisrael and like Rabbi Akiva in Chutzlat? It doesn't make any sense. He says, no, it does make sense. That's how the friend explained it. It does make sense because the Gemara says, Eile v'Eile di rili kimcha. It means that the Rebbeinu Shlom never told Moshe Rabbeinu Beferish what the din should be on a tzlaf bush. Which parts of the bush are treated as pre, which parts of the bush are treated as eight. Left it up to the understanding of the Chachmei HaDorah Shebechol Dorido. So that's where Rav Lezer has his shita, Rav Akiva has his shita. So even though halalocha we pass from like Rav Lezer, based on the Klovei Apsach, we should pass from like Rav Lezer, it doesn't mean Rav Akiva is wrong. It means that halacha l'maaseh, we are not nohag like Rav Akiva's shita. But Rav Akiva's shita is not considered as something that's incorrect. It's not that it's wrong. Halacha l'maaseh, you have to do either one way or the other. Even though you say Eile v'Eile di rili kimcha, but from the halacha you have to be consistent. You have to follow one sheet. So in Eretz Yisrael you follow Rav Lezer's sheet. But in Chutz La'aretz, where the Ran says any sofik kol dehu, even if it's not enough of a sofik to say sveika the rabbanu l'kula. Let's say when you have a machlekes of Lezer and Rav Akiva, and based on the normal Klali Apsak, you should pass like Rav Lezer. You say with respect to din of the rabbanu, it's a sveika the rabbanu l'kula. So you always pass like Rav Akiva. No, that's not called the sveika the rabbanu l'kula. The Klali Apsak say you should pass like Rav Lezer against Rav Akiva, let's say. So that's not called sveika the rabbanu l'kula. But by all the b'chutz la'aretz, any sofik kol dehu is enough. It's even more of a kula than sveika the rabbanu l'kula. Sveika the rabbanu l'kula, if it's epshel levar, you have to be mevar. By all the b'chutz la'aretz, the Gemara says you don't even have to try to be mevar. You're not mechuyev to try to ascertain what the facts are. Any sofik kol dehu, that's a lashon hara. Any sofik kol dehu, you go l'kula. So that's what the Ran says. Whenever there's a machlokes ha-poskim in Eretz Yisrael, that's called a sofik kol dehu, because the shita that's not accepted l'dina is not assumed to be an incorrect shita. It's not that it's called a wrong shita, it's just that we don't follow that shita. But it is, in our mind, we do treat it as a sofik kol dehu. Maybe the din is like Rabbi Akiva, even though we don't pass like him l'alacha, we don't assume that he's wrong. We just don't follow his shita. But when it comes to chutz la'aretz, that's sufficient to consider that a sofik kol dehu. That's what the Ran comments on this Gemara. Now the Achronim comment on this Rashi. They say the Rashi also holds like that Ran. That's the Pshat in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara has to talk about. Make a Boretz. Halacha k'moisa b'chutz l'aretz. So the Rashi understands that that only applies if you hold that all of b'chutz l'aretz is midirabbanan. If you hold that all of b'chutz l'aretz is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, true we say that sofik all of b'chutz l'aretz l'kule, and you don't even have to ask any questions. But Rashi holds that only makes sense. You can only go l'kula on a sofik in mitzias, but on a sveika d'dina you can't go l'kula. Why? So the Mishkan is Yankif and the Sefer on Adaf on Brachos quotes a tesis, a famous tesis. He's not the one to discover. It's a famous tesis in Shabbos, in Perikah Leva D'Mila. The tesis has contradictions between various gemaras. And some gemaras, the Gemara always tells you what the din is. What's the din in this case, what's the din in that case. Then the Gemara has din of what's the din if you don't know what the din is. What you do if you can't figure out what the din is? Sofik. What do you do with Mokhi Sofik? So we can't know all the time what the facts of the cases are. So how may it be all of our right? If it's a Sofik in Mammon, so whoever is Mukhsa keeps it. If it's a Speker, the Rabbanu will go with Kula. If it's a Speker, the Raisin will go with Chumra. If it's a Sofik in Eget Chazokah, the Talib, whatever the Chazok is, we have to know what to do with Mokhi that you can't figure out. What the facts are. What do you do if you can't figure out what the din is? Sometimes we have a case where you can't figure out the facts, and sometimes you have a case where you can't figure out the din. The tesis points out, so what do you do if you have a taker? What's the halacha if you can't figure out? It's exactly, what's the din if you have a taker? So tesis has this comment. Tesis says, the Torah, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, when he gave the Torah Hasin, I knew that we won't know all the facts all the time. We're not superhumans. We will be presented with cases that will know it's trace, will know it's kosher. We'll be presented with cases that we won't know what the facts are, we won't know what this kosher treif. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo had to tell us what's treif and what's kosher, and how to tell us how to act when you're not sure, how to act when in doubt. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo's advice is, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to tell us dinim how to act when you're not sure what the din is. Break your head and figure out what the din is. What do you mean? Lazy? The Rebbeinu Shlomo knows that we're only human beings, so we can't know all the facts. How we don't have Ruach HaKodesh, we don't have Nevuah. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo, when he gave us the Torah, had to tell us how to act and walk from Sofei, if it's a Sofik in Mitzvah, that you won't know the facts of the case. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo's Zoktosis is never going to give us Klolim how to act when you have a Sveik of the Dina. Sveik of the Dina, ask your rabbi, he'll tell you what the Dina is. Well, the rabbi can't figure out. Ask another rabbi who can't figure it out.
What about his Goro?
Goro is not going to determine what the Dina is.
Isn't Goro itself So it could be for suffix and eren. We have many instances where it was.
No, you only use a goyrol to be mevar when they divided Eretz Yisrael off the goyrol of Ruach HaKodesh, Mum and Tumim. So then the goyrol was carried weight in east of the head. Usually the goyrol is just to divide Yerusha.
Many times the Gemara ends up with a
take. So what do you do? What do you do when the Gemara has a take? So what do you do? That's a shaila. So Tosfos says, so you have to go l'chumra. Sveka d'rabban, sveka d'raisa, you have to go l'chumra. So Tosfos says, and you can never have a halacha that'll, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will never have built in a clause in the Torah what to do with Makom Sveka Adina. But Makom Sveka Adina, ask someone else what the din is. All the Tanaim can't figure out. So let them break their heads, let them figure it out. So that's what the mission is. Yankov claims that that's apparently what Rashi holds on Ardab. What prompted Rashi to say on Ardab that Orla B'chutz Loretz is Midirabonus? And the Gemara Kiddushin there are two opinions in Amarang, whether it's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai or it's Midirabonus. So all over in Shas, Rashi never takes a stand. Punkt on Ardab, on Brach Islam Evav, Rashi takes a stand that it's only Midirabonus. So it must be that he saw something on Ardab that led him to believe that our Sugya holds that it's Midirabonus. What did he see? So the Mishkanos Yankim says he saw that the Gemara applies the klal of Sofik or the B'chutz Loretz lehokel to kol amekel baruch halacha k'mos b'chutz loretz. That not only when you have a Sofik in Mitzias, I don't know how long this bush has been growing. Is it in its second year since it's been replanted, or is it in its 10th year? So that's a Sofik in Mitzias. So that's the halacha of Sofik or the B'chutz Loretz l'kula. But the Gemara here applies Sofik or the l'kula even to a Sveikin Adina. If you have a machlokes of Leizer Rabbi Akiva, and the halacha is nipsiko, like Rabbi Lezer in Eretz Yisrael. But when it comes to chutz laretz, I reopen the case and I say, in chutz laretz I have a right to be maker like Rabbi Akiva, because this is called a suffik koldu. The fact that Rabbi Akiva is here disagreeing with Rabbi Lezer makes it a suffik koldu, because when we paskan like Rabbi Lezer in Eretz Yisrael, we didn't mean to say Rabbi Akiva is wrong. We never said he's wrong. This is a good shita. We're going to follow Rabbi Lezer's shita. We're going to follow the majority opinion. We're going to follow Rabbi Lezer's shita. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Kiva. We assume that we pass on halacha like Rabbi Lezer. But the fact that Rabbi Kiva disagrees is enough to create a latest asafik. It's a safik holder. So the Mishkanos Yankiv says, but how can kach nemar halacha? How can you say that a sveikah d'dina is also included in the klal of safik or l'b'chutz loretz muta? What do you mean a sveikah d'dina? The Torah is going to tell you what to do, but not a sveikah d'dina. Break your head a little more, get the Tanaim to work a little harder, and resolve the problem. Let them all get to agree what the din is. What do you mean? So he says, from the fact that the Gemara is assuming that even in a sveikah d'dina I treat it as a safik or l'b'chutz loretz, it only makes sense if you say that all l'b'chutz loretz is midirabonus. If it would have been Minat Torah, then we should have applied that rule, that klal that Tosfos has in Rav Lezer Nemila, that the Torah never tells you how to act in Makom Sveika D'dina. Figure out what the din is. In a Sofik in Mitzvah, the Torah has to tell you how to act. The Rebbeinu Shlom knows that we're not following Ruach HaKodesh. We won't know all the facts all the time. There will be many cases when we won't know the facts. But if it's a Sofik in Din, then the Torah doesn't tell us what to do. That's what the Mishkanos Yankim says. You have such a similar klal, Mishkanos Yankim explains more. You have such an identical, not similar, you have the identical klal by Avelis. The Gemara says, a klal by Avelis, whenever you have a machlokes hatanoim, and the rabbim are machmir, and the yochid is meiko, so you always follow the rabbim, whatever the rabbim says. Except for Avelis, if you have a yochid who is meiko, we pass him like the yochid. So what kind of a din is that? So usually people say, because Avelis is only with the rabbanon, and sake of the rabbanon l'kulim. So Tosfos writes in Erevin, Daf Mem Vav, that it's not correct. The Ramban, quote that Tosfos, an Erevin who quotes in the name of the Gaonim, that even though their opinion, even though the Gaonim are of the opinion, Avelos Yom Rishon has been our Torah. Avelos, we learned this, and we learned the second parish in Brachos, so we discussed the machlokes between the Gaonim and the Rif and the Rambam on the one hand, as opposed to the Bali Atosis on the other hand. That the Shitas HaGaonim is that Avelos on Yom Rishon, the first day of Shiva, has Avelos been our Torah. So even though the Gaonim are of the opinion that Avelis Yom Rishon is Minat Torah, nevertheless, a Sofik Avelis will be Lohakel, even an Avelis Yom Rishon. That's what Tosfos quotes in the name of the Gaonim. Why? So it's based on a pasuk. Ayafusa from a pasuk. So what do you see from that pasuk? That this is something that overrides the Kalal of Sveika Deraisa Lechumra. Just like by Orla B'chut Floris, Halacha says that if there's no Yediyah, if it's not Vaday Asur, then it's Mutar Kapnaim Halacha. So by Avelis is also such halacha that whenever there's no yediyah of Vadois, that it's also that there's a din of Avelis, so I say that the Avelis is just not knowing. And I consider a suffix either a suffix in Mitzvahs or a suffix in Din. Same as the Ram pointed out over here. Either a suffix in Mitzvahs, whether these bushes are Arma, or a suffix in Din, whether we should pass that the laws of Arma should apply to this part of the bush. So the same applies by Avelis, the Gemara has, that Kol Ameko, just like Kol Ameko Boris, Halacha Kamasa B'chutzlar, similarly, by Avelis, the Gemara says, whenever there's any Shikha Sayyafet who's Meko, so then you go to Kul. Unless, of course, let's say there's a machloikis between Aruk and the Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloikis with this shita and that shita, and this rabbi is convinced that the shita hamachmira is right. The rabbi went through the sugi and he holds that the shita is machmira is right. So you don't force this rabbi to pass in lahaka. As far as he's concerned, there's no suffering. He worked it out. He knows what the din is. It means if the rabbi, whom you ask, is not convinced that the din is either like A or like B, he doesn't know what the din should be. He's presented with a machloikis that these paskim say like that, they say like that, and the majority of the paskim say lechumah, and the minority say lekula, and it's not that he's convinced that the shita that's makel is wrong. If he's convinced they're wrong, so he votes lechumah. So if it's also, it's also. He doesn't know what the paskim. He just presented the machloikis, the rabbim and the yochid, and under normal circumstances he would paskim, he would have to paskim like the rabbim. Even in a din derabbanan, you have to paskim like the rabbim. But if it's a din in Hilchas Avelis, then the Gemara says be paskim like the yochid. If you're not convinced which way the din is, if the person is convinced, then it's not a suffix. It's not even a suffix called to him. He knows what the din is. If it's a teiku in a din deraisa, you go to chumra for sure. Yeah. If it's a teiku in a din, that's teiku deraisa lechumra. If it's a teiku in a din derabbanan, then it's a shaila. Then it's not a shaila. It's a machloek. It's tesis in the Rambam. But the teiku derabbanan is lekula or lechumra. Yeah, but in a few places it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. What do you do when the Gemara has a take on a din de Rabbanon? Do you go the kula, like a speck of the Rabbanon, or do you treat it as a... If the Gemara says that it's a suffix, maybe it's treated as
a very
more serious.
The itself says we can't figure it out. If you want to do it, but you need to be the highest structure of the but if you're waiting for the Shiach of Kim, that means they give up.
Right.
So even, I'm talking about Sadak Barais.
Yeah.
So that's not the way it's supposed to be. The point would you can say, they can't say that, they're supposed to keep on working on it.
But they gave up. They gave up. No, Tesis just says that we can. The Torah doesn't tell us rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. So how to paskin, the mokum sveke the din. Torah says, figure out what the din is. It's not going to tell us what to do.
But
we can't figure it out, so we write down. We couldn't figure it out.
But this is the sort of thing.
So we go to chumra? Sveke the rice, we go to chumra? Okay. That we know?
Is this the other point?
Sveka the Rabbanan, by a teiku, that's a machloikis tesis in the Rambam how to pass. Whether you say teiku and adin the Rabbanan is lekula or not lekula. What do you do teiku and didi mamanis? That's a big machloikis tesis in Gitna, has three sheikis. Do you say amaitz machadal al haraya? Do you say achloiku? Different sheikis. It applies to all the b'chutzlars and applies also to trumas and maises b'chutzlars. Where do you have trumas and maises b'chutzlars? We don't have any trumas and maises b'chutzlars. What is the Gemara talking about? It doesn't apply to Chutzlar. So that's what Taisis says, it's in Chumim. And Dan Zayin is a long, long Taisis in Chumim, and the Rajbin, the first Taisis in Beitza, has a long, long essay. Who ever heard of Trumas? On the one hand, you have two or three Gemaras where they discuss Trumas and Mais and Chutzlar. On the other hand, you have 150 Gemaras where it says that there is no Trumas and Mais and Chutzlar. So what's going on? So they give different answers, and then they finally conclude with the answer from the Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that we distinguish between Aratzis HaSmuchas as opposed to real Chutzlars. That if you live far away from Eretz Yisrael, then there's no Trumas Maisis even with the Rabbanim. And those countries which are bordering Eretz Yisrael, Amun and Moab, they have a din of Trumas Maisis with the Rabbanim. Syria is Mochomer. Syria has a din of Eretz Yisrael with the Rabbanim. Right, because there was a kibush. So Syria has that was a semi-status of Eretz Yisrael. That thing was going to go into what we did.
Does it have to be necessarily broken? Whatever you have to have a lot of that fall in the same category?
No, that has the dinam of Trumas and Maisis of Eretz Yisrael. That's not the dinam of Chutzlar.
So we don't, let's say that they didn't do it there, so we have to do it
here. Yeah, if you know that it's tied to Trumas and Maisis. We discussed that many times when they export the oranges, they're not yet ripe. So if they're not ripe, they didn't have a Gemara Malachi yet. They didn't have a Gemara Pri yet. So if you get the Gemara Pri while it's on the boat, the Chutzlar, so then the parts can say that there's no chayv Trumas and Maisis at all. That's the only chayv Trumas and Maisis if it grew in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara HaKri is ripened in Eretz Yisrael. But if it only became ripe in the Chutzlar, then there's no chayv HaFrashir. Okay, this is, we're still in the middle of this topic. We're more going to discuss more about this. Going over time a bit. Let's close with a short comment on the Parshas HaShavua. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayera that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to go past the Paro, that he should let Bnei Yisrael go free, but he told him in advance, "Vani akshes le Paro, I will harden his heart. V'lo yishma aleichem Paro, he will not free the Bnei Yisrael, he will not listen to you." So the Ibn Ezra has the kasha, and the Raman talks about the kasha. All of the Rishonim discuss, and the Parshim on Chumash and others discuss, how could Paro be punished for his refusing to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's orders if HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended his Bechira Chavshis and he didn't allow him to give him? So many different answers are given, and the Parshim gives different answers. I just want to point out one thing here. The Rambam has a comment in the Moreh Nebuchadnezzar that runs as follows. The Ribbono Shel Olam intervenes in the world. That's what we call Hashgacha Pratis. The Ribbono Shel Olam intervenes. Sometimes he sees through that the tzaddik who should be killed is not, that tzaddik is going to go somewhere dangerous, so the Ribbono Shel Olam sees through that he shouldn't get hurt. Sometimes the Russia is going to be comfortable, so the Ribbono Shel Olam sees through that he should go on a ship that's going to have a shipwreck. There's going to be an airplane that's going to crash, that will die, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in this world. Exactly how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervene in this world? Does he change Kuke HaTeva? Does he change nature? So once in a while we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Nisim Gluyim, because it changes Teva. But most of the time he doesn't change Teva. The Pasuk tells us in three places in Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, made Kuke HaTeva, Velo Yavor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself doesn't violate his own laws of Teva. And even the Nisim Gluyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, Kriyas Yamsuf, and all the other Nisim Gluyim, so the Rambam has a long essay on Mishnayot and Pirkei Avos, and the Shmoneh Prokhim has an introduction to Mishnayot Avos. So he says, based on the Mishnah lists off all the things that were created, Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshes, so he said HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Teva, and Sheshis made Bereishis, and then he created things L'mayla Ben HaTeva, he created all the Nisim, also on Ben HaShemoshes. And he quotes the Medrash that says, Vayashav Hayam Li Eisan, after Kriyas Yamsu, he says, Vayashav Hayam, Yamsu went back to Eisan, to its original Eisan, to its strength. And the word Eisan is spelled with the same letters as Tanai. The Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Maisa Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he stipulated a clause with the Yam that it should split if and when Bnei Yisrael will come there. What does that mean? So the Rambam says that when we speak of Nisim Gluyim, it doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is changing Teva. This is also part of Teva. It's just that we don't know enough about nature to know that there's this clause and fine prints. If you look, let's say, at a legal contract, you have everything there. You have all the fine print there. So if you read it, you figure out what all the clauses are. When we look at Teva, the scientists are not able to know all of Teva. So based on what they see, they see that Nisim are a changing of Teva. But the Gemara understands that it's not so. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Teva at that time. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever intervenes to do a Hashgacha Pratis now is an Eis Nistar. An Eis Nistar means that he suspends somebody's Bechira Chavshis instead of me deciding whether to go to use this airline or that airline, or to go to this airport or to go to that airport. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it in my head, I should go to that airport because there's going to be a bomb at the other airport. He doesn't want me to get killed. If he does want me to get killed, so he causes me to go to that airport where the bomb is going to be. Or he causes someone, when he manufactured this airplane, not to tighten the screws too well, or to do a faulty job. He suspended the person's Bechira Chavshis and forced the person to do something abnormal, or something that he would have normally not done. Maybe it's not abnormal. He caused him to do something because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this to lead to something in the future. That's how the Rambam explains that if not for Bechira Chavshis, there wouldn't be any Hashgacha Pratis. But these two are interrelated. Amen. Amen.